Coming to you live from downtown Detroit, this is Benzinga's Pre-Market Prep with your host, Joel Elkanen.
This is a volatile puppy here, isn't it?
And Dennis Dick.
I've bitten a penny. I will buy the stock for a penny.
With everything you need to start your trading day. Good morning, traders and investors. Welcome to this Wednesday, May 17th edition of Benzinga's Pre-Market Prep. I'm Spencer Israel here with Joel Elkanen and Dennis Dick. On today's show, we're going to talk about those target earnings that just came a few minutes ago. We have BBRY reaching double digits, fast food restaurants all with the beats. The rally in cybersecurity seems to have fizzled. We had a wild day yesterday after the bell due to AMD's analyst day. We'll talk about that. And we'll get to your questions in the chat. Two guests on the docket today. First up at 8:15, Victor Anthony. He's an equity analyst at Aegis Capital. And then 8:35, Greg Harmon from Dragonfly Capital Management. Joel, how are we doing the S&Ps this morning?
Sea of red here on my screen. We went down hard last night, right off the open. Went to 2379, a big level. That was your seven-day low as well as Thursday's low. But back up at mid-range on the day, I'm keeping an eye on 2388. That's your 50% retracement. Crude found support at yesterday's low. Now trading in the green, not by a lot, only 27 cents. 49.02, that's your high. Yesterday's high, way up at 49.38. And gold and silver responding to the sea of red in the U.S. markets. Gold up 12.20, knocking on the door at 12.50. Silver knocking on the door of $17.
Dennis, how's it going?
Joel usually introduces me, but he didn't feel like talking to me today.
So I stepped up.
So I decided to sit back in the background until somebody introduced me. It's going well. I mean, we're getting hit here this morning. It looks like we are significantly off the lows, though. So let's just give you the details, you know, on why we are down here this morning. Joel, jump into the S&P futures and give you the details. But Spencer, what is the reason here? This Trump debacle? What is this going on?
If you're saying that's why we're down, then sure, that's why we're down. There's a report last night that – so James Comey is known – Comey, of course, a former FBI director, is known for keeping a paper trail, and he apparently took notes that Trump had asked him to stop his investigation of former National Security Advisor Michael Flynn. So that of course, would be illegal if he had asked that. So that's the latest – in As the World Turns, the latest plot point, plot twist, but there we go.
So we pull back significantly last night. We get down to, where is the low, Joel?
79 even.
Where are we now?
Well, actually, 79 to quarter. We're at 86.75.
So we've already got 7-8 points of the losses back here. Is this just another opportunity to buy the dip? I mean, this is this market. Every time it pulls back even a half a percent here, the buy the dippers seem to just be lurking in the background of the institutional money manager that's underweight, keeps buying the pullbacks here. Do you think this is the start of something to be concerned about, or is this just another buying opportunity?
Well, I've been concerned since about 2100 in the S&Ps, but here we are up. Technically speaking, we put a triple top in, Dennis. Too bad I didn't go for the close over 2400 instead of just touching it, because we made three highs in the 2400 handle. Highest close we had is 2398.50. I just think, you know, all the factors taken into consideration here, technically there's some weakness in this. Got to get back into that 24 handle and make new all-time highs. We're down too much for me to make a good wager with you, Dennis, because, you know, I know we're not going to end up green on the day. So whatever
Do you know that?
Why do I know that?
Yeah.
Because
why does your crystal ball say that?
Because we've already had a huge range. We've had a 20-point range. And after folks seeing the spoos down at 79 and a quarter, anything back in the 2390 handle, they're just going to lap it up, and there's going to be sellers. And then people are going to bring their offers down. That was trying to sell the last few days. They're going to bring their offers down in stocks. You got some weakness in Apple. You got some weakness in other top components. And it's just adjustment of the order flow coming down because how low we traded last night. So if you want to go triple, if you want to go even today on everything and double or nothing, I'm willing to do that. I'll give you odds. Whatever you want. I'll buy you a car.
You a car to get rid of my lunches that we're not going flat here today. I should just take that bet because the risk reward is so good. But I won't take you up on that bet. I think, you know, that I'm not, you know, coming in here and selling the market when we're down 0.5%.
Correct.
I've burned too many times. We call it selling the hole. I've been burned too many times doing it, so I'm not doing it. That being said, I always look for the pockets of strength. And if you want to find the pockets of strength here today, I personally think it's going to be in the retail sector here, you know, and maybe it's not that much of a flyer, but one tell last night I thought was Urban Outfitters, URBN. And, you know, retail has just been massacred. Last week when I was off, we know Macy's, Kohl's, Nordstrom just annihilated. You know, besides Home Depot and Lowe's, which have held up, I mean, for the most part, retail has just been annihilated. So last night we get Urban Outfitters report. Spencer, give us URBN numbers, and then I'll tell you, you know, my whole thesis here.
URBN Q1 EPS 10 cents versus a 16 cent estimate, sales of 761 versus $770 million. So a miss on the top, a miss on the bottom. Q1 comps for the retail segment down 3.1%.
Terrible numbers. Terrible numbers from URBN. It got hit initially on the report, but the thing has been selling off. We were in March, we were $28. Now we're $20. They've hit this thing so hard that actually, believe it or not, after a terrible report here for Urban Outfitters, stock's trading higher. And stock actually traded up over the 21 handle there last night. And when they start buying these dogs on bad news and bad reports, that's a tell that maybe we're due for a bounce. And I'm saying a bounce, not a bottom, because this retail, I don't know if there's ever going to be a bottom. They just keep going down. But I think we're due for a bounce, at least a little bit of a short squeeze. And when you have people coming in probably short URBN, you know, thinking, oh, they're going to, you know, because everybody else reported disappointing numbers. Those guys are kind of scratching their heads here this morning. They're saying, this report wasn't great. Why is the stock not down? It's just been down too much. It fell since $24 four trading sessions ago on no individual news, just on everybody else's, you know, garbage retail numbers. So a little bit expected that it was going to be bad. And now you get this morning Target coming out and actually blowing it away. Target is having a nice morning here this morning. Spencer, give us the numbers for TGT.
Yeah, we're seeing yesterday Target, you know, part of big box that's fighting back a little better against Amazon. Q1 EPS $1.21 versus 91 cents. Sales of 16.02 billion versus 15.62 billion. So a nice beat on both numbers there. They see Q2 EPS at 95 cents to $1.15. The estimate was $1, so pretty good in line, but still well above on the high end of the range. Q1 same store sales were down 1.3%, but digital sales were up 22%, following a 23% number in the last quarter. So
they hit this hard with the report. They actually were hitting it even last night. I saw a trade down the 53 handle because people are nervous. They don't want to hold on the report. Boom. Bounce back day, 7.1%. It's up. I don't know. I think the retailers could show some life. It's always rotating. You know, money's rotating out of some of the Trump stocks here this morning, which we can mention some of those in a second. I think it rotates into some of the retailers here this morning, at least for the morning. Joel, your thoughts here on my thesis.
Well, first of all, did Urban report pizza sales at all?
Well, that's why I said comps for the retail segment, because that Urban includes the pizza. So we didn't include,
okay.
the pizza in our retail comps.
All right, because I became concerned with this issue when they did expand into pizza. I mean, Dennis, there's money. I mean, you can't argue that money's always shifting around. So, you know, either shorts may want to cover, you know, be looking to cover this so they can short someone else or reallocate their assets. It's trading in the green, not by much. So I'll just keep an eye on yesterday's low in Urban Outfitters 2024. I don't think we're going to see that pre-market low of, they hit this down to 1950. I don't think we're going to see that. And it's just finding support where it did in late 2015 and early 2016 at the psychological $20 number. So that's good support. Where it can go on the upside, needs to get into the $21 handle.
Yeah.
$20.99 was yesterday's high. Not a lot of cover if you're short after that to $21.90. Tarjay, I mean, I'm sure these are lowered expectations. Right now, someone seems to be wiggling out of some stock here at 59 even. The highest it's been, it got walloped. What was it, the Macy earnings? Or did they do some guidance when they went from 66 to 60? We should look in pro and see what
that was. That was last earnings report.
Was that long ago?
That was a quarter ago, yeah. That was the last report.
Yep. So the highest level it's traded at since then is 59.67. That could be a potential level, and then you get into the big gap area. But right now, someone making a stand at the $59 area.
Yeah. And, you know, you can't argue with that. It got up there, you know, in the pre-market. And then if you look at the two highs there, 58.5 and 58.5, I mean, it kind of coincides there. That's the high of the move. And then you start thinking the big psychological level 60. It's hard to chase a retailer up $4. So that's just, you know, the case of these things just seem to find new sellers. But I just feel like there could be a relief pop in some of the retailers here. Just because, you know, they're looking for, I mean, Walmart here this morning is trading up 79 cents. Walmart's obviously going to report on Thursday night. So then we'll hear from Walmart. But, or actually, I think it's Thursday morning, Walmart. But
Walmart's
it's trading up a buck. What did
you say, Spencer? I said Walmart's tomorrow morning.
It is tomorrow morning. Okay. So you're getting a sympathy move here in Walmart. Again, it seems like every time, just like the market, every time the retailers pop, it's usually a selling opportunity. Every time the S&P's pull back, it's a buying opportunity. So I'm not jumping in here this morning and saying, I'm coming in and I'm going to buy Walmart with two, you know, or Target, you know, because it just seems like every time these things pop up, it's a selling opportunity. But that being said, there's a lot of people short these things, and I think we're due for a squeeze.
Okay, S&P futures repelled off that mid-range 2388, now at 2084.5, 84 even. Dennis, we gotta find something here because, you know, gotta make a little wager on this. I need to get that lunch back from the 2400 versus 2350 wager.
Yeah, and the market is getting hit here a little bit more again right now. We've dropped about 3 or 4 S&P points just since we started the show here. So we're leaking here again, Joel. I don't know if I'm concerned or not, or if, you know, I'm going to throw out that, you know, it's possible that we could just bounce back. But let's talk Trump stocks here, because if this is Trump concerns, then the Trump stocks are probably going to get hit. And, you know, Cramer does a show on the Trump stocks, but the number one Trump stocks has been the U.S. financials. They've been the biggest beneficiary of Trump. Obviously, you know, with deregulation, with Trump coming in, they think it's going to be the Wild West of banking here again. So the banks are getting hit harder today. So S&P futures, you know, down over 0.5% here. We've got Bank of America trading down 1.5%. We've got J.P. Morgan trading down 1.5%. Citigroup, 1.5%. Goldman Sachs trading down 1.3%. Morgan Stanley trading down 1.3%. So financials are getting hit hard here. Give us some technicals. Let's start with BAC. Stock has bounced back from the lows it got to in April, but a little 50% retracement lurking there too. If you're looking from that move in March when the stock went from almost $26 down to $22, I can do the air math on that. $24 is like your 50%.
Yep, and it did sneak over there. We can look at that, but you know what stock really hasn't responded as well, and that's Goldman Sachs. Looking at the Goldman Sachs daily chart, nowhere near a 50% retracement. So, Dennis, S&Ps are really getting walloped now, 82.5, down 1450. See if Brentster has some breaking news for us on that. They just haven't responded. You know, the financials have not responded on this rally back to new all-time highs. So if you're going to throw that, you know, in the pot, then I would say, yeah, we're in big-time trouble. Goldman Sachs trading down here in the pre-market at 222.20. Let's see here. I got a low at 222.15. I'd maybe take a look if I was short. Wouldn't try a long there.
How about Jack in the Box? One of my favorite tickers, Jack. They reported yesterday. After the bell, Jack did Q2 EPS, sorry, 98 cents versus 91 cents. Sales of about 370 million, which is pretty in line with the estimate there. They report Q2 comps down a little under 1%. They see Q3 comps up 1% to down 1%, so pretty even on that. And then the fiscal year EPS guidance is coming in lower than the estimate for Jack.
absolutely wild after hours trading in Jack. This stock got walloped and smacked on the initial numbers. And any news algorithm that was reading, you know, that the guidance was lower, got killed because this stock just fell to $92.98. That's right. It traded at $92.98, right to that low of February 23rd, which was 93.04. It's funny how those old lows just work. And at that level, it bounced, and it bounced, and it bounced. And then it went flat, and then it kept rising, and kept rising, and then it went up 10 bucks. So it fell 10 bucks, got it all back, and then rallied another 10 bucks. So it had a 20-point, over a 20-point after-hours range. It basically traded the entire range of February when the stock was up at 112.86 all the way down to 93.04 in those like 6-7 trade sessions from the last report. It basically traded that entire range after hours. I mean, there's big money to make, Joel, trading these earnings oscillations if you're on the right side of them.
And the thing about it is, Dennis, is you would just have to keep like throwing. I mean, like, let's say you were inclined to get long. I mean, you would have to scale into it, and you would just have to, you know, because at 96, you'd be scratching your head. 95, you'd be scratching
your
head.
But the report was bad. Why would you be, you know what I mean? Like, it was so much guts to come out there and just say, okay, yeah, you know, I think it's going to bounce. I mean, the guidance, okay, the report, the earnings itself for the quarter are okay, but the guidance wasn't good. And, you know, I use my little algorithm that I have in my head. Usually the guidance is more important. In this case, it's not. This is kind of a head scratcher. But this market does funny things sometimes, and sometimes logic doesn't work. And in this case, if you were just going with the guidance and saying, oh, they're going to hit this thing, you was wrong. You were really wrong.
if you take it, it was over a 20-point range. Made a new all-time high on that at 113.30. And boom, boom. When was that? Oh, that was back in December when it made the all-time high at 113.30. Your high in the pre-market is shy of that level. No, it did. It got up to 115. So holy mackerel. I think coming up anywhere near 115, you'll find sellers. Major consolidation here, though, at 111.60. It's actually been holding in here. So I don't know who the hell is buying this up. 972 at 111.50. But it's holding in there. I mean, if it takes that out, it's impossible to give you support on that. Old all-time high, 113.30 from December. So, man, if I had a long here, got back up to 13.30, I would definitely have an offer out there.
I will tell you one thing, though, and you can go along with this too, Joel, and you can say it's conspiracy theory, but this stuff actually happens. Because, you know, you get some of these smaller companies, the liquidity is so low after the earnings report.
Yep.
If you have a major institution that says, no, you know, I've got a big holding in this thing and I'm not letting this thing drop 10 bucks. If they come in with some buying power, you know, let's just say you had a couple $100 million worth of stock. For a few $1 million, you can jack this thing up, no pun intended. And that stuff does go on. You know, Cramer's even talked about that on Mad Money. You know, sometimes in the thinner ones, they're just forced by one big player to go up, and the media will find an excuse for the stock trading up. But sometimes that excuse is the simple reason that somebody wanted it up. And when it started tanking down, they're like, nope, and they started buying stock. And when, you know, this is just, you know, a theory. It's obviously, you know, we don't know who the buyers are, so we can't have any proof here. But this stuff does happen. And in some cases where you're scratching your head, sometimes it's just the fact that somebody didn't want it down and they had big enough money to bully the stock back up. Like, and you saw this stuff on the floor happen too back in the day, Joel. Like, there's bullies out there.
Yep. I mean, we've gotten, you know, it, I don't know if it was taught. We're talking like IBM the other day, and we, you know, we didn't come into agreement. But I'm in total agreement with you on this one because it gets it down. What about all the people, not only a long one to get it up, what about all the people that are like short this thing? Wow. And they're like, oh, this is going to 84 bucks. This is going to, I'm gonna put a bid out at 90 and I'm going to get hit on this. And then you're looking, you're like, oh, 93, oh, 94, oh, 95, 96, yep. 97, 98, 99, 100, 105. You know, big windfall. And all of a sudden now anybody that shorted it, you know, let's see, if you caught it over 112 back in February, you're underwater. You're underwater shorting this thing. And the volume this morning's okay, 32,000, but holy mackerel. And it traded a little bit of volume last night too. But like, I'd have to agree with you on this one, Dennis. It's just
I think, you know, there's sometimes bullies out there, and you know, it could be this case in Jack. It could be something else there too. But one player in these center stocks, you know, you get those smaller stocks, especially. You can say, "Oh, well, Jack the Box trades quite a bit." Not after hours. That was thin. Like, it was cutting through handles on a couple hundred shares. So, you know, you can move it around. If you had an extra $500,000 just kicking around saying, well, I already got $100 million, this, I'll throw another million to make it go up. It can happen. And that does happen, guys. You know, it's not really legal. I mean, you know, it's hard to say, you know, okay, well, it's illegal, but people bully stocks. And that is the truth. And, you know, and that sometimes is the case. And, you know, all of a sudden it's up $10. Media will scramble. Why is it trading up? Why is it trading up? They'll find a reason. The media is always looking for a reason. And sometimes the reason is just, you know, one player. But, you know, that's just, you know, my thoughts here as I see Jack
also
trading
$10
up.
Also, the sector, I mean, is, I want everyone in the chat to respond. Is everyone just going out for fast food now? I mean, you look at McDonald's, who's going to start delivering. You look at Wendy's. You look at, you know, some of these. I mean, these stocks are Red Robin, a little bit more higher class, and I really don't like their burgers. But, man, oh, man, what has got into these fast food restaurant stocks?
Yeah, they've been moving. I mean, this Red Robin, let's just give the earnings on this thing. And this thing, I don't know if you call it fast food or not, but holy cow, it's up 17% here this morning on their earnings as well. Spencer, give us the details on RRGB.
I was going to ask you what the ticker was because I never remember Red Robin's ticker for some reason. It just gourmet burgers.
RRGB.
Yeah, I got it. Q1 EPS here for Red Robin of 89 cents versus $1.27 in the same quarter. Last year, sales $418.6 million versus $416.3 million. So a beat on that number there. They do see their fiscal year EPS coming in above the estimate. Q1 comps down 1.2%.
Pre-market. Give us some levels here. Like, I don't know. It's hard. I'll throw it to you here. I mean, we have been up
Thanks,
here
Dennis.
Before. So, but this is a big breakout for Red Robin. Red Robin.
It's Red Robin Gourmet Burgers. Pre-market high of 69 even. So, I mean, that's a level. If it heads backed off 3/4 of a point from that. So, the longer it takes to take out 69 even, the more a chance there'll be some profit taking. But if it doesn't, you know, if you go up back through 69, you will get back up through some levels that you haven't seen since, when's the last time this thing has been here? When's the last time we've been in the 70 handle? Let me see. I got on my
2015.
Yeah, 2015. It just, in December and January, this thing came down from 69.32 to the 61.74 area, and this thing's just wild.
Wild child.
I'm not making comments on this one.
Wild child. I just say $70. Big whole number. What's the after hours high?
69.
All right, I'm going 70, big whole number. I think you have some resistance there, but we know these things can just get crazy, and it's at $10. I think it's already crazy, so I'll limit my comments here on Red Robin, too, because it's a tough one to call. Also reporting just this morning here, American Eagle Outfitters, AEO, stock was trading higher ahead of the report, probably because of the Target numbers and the Urban numbers from last night. No longer the case. American Eagle Outfitters getting the rug pulled out from under it. Spencer, what did AEO have to say?
AEO reported this morning here Q1 adjusted EPS of 16 cents versus a 17 cent estimate, sales of 762 versus $741 million. So they beat on the sales, missed the EPS by a penny. Comps up 2% as far as Q2. That EPS guidance is coming in below the estimate. It was 23 cents. They're coming in at 15 cents to 17 cents.
Well, they're hitting AEO on numbers, so I guess, you know, my little thesis from the Urban Outfitters, they're not working for AEO because AEO is hit hard ahead of the report. This stock, though, I mean, you know, this is like the Gap. These mall retailers, they're not in favor anymore. I mean, this is a branded shirt, too, we were saying before, you know, that people don't like buying these branded shirts, little eagle on it, is supporting the brand. They're not into that anymore, the teeny boppers, so... I don't know. This stock just seems like it's, you know, on the road to, well, I won't say it, but you know where I'm saying.
All right. If you've been waiting to bring in your short that you initiated in December 2014 near the $12 level, here's your chance for a scratch or to make a little money. One level I'm giving here, 1177. That was your December 2014 low. If you do go into rally mode, yesterday's low, 1293, to fill the gap.
And one other one here. Actually, no. We're going to move away from earnings because there's other stocks to talk about. We only got 7 minutes. Let's go Colgate. CL, if you're coming in here and say, holy cow, big move for Colgate this morning. New York Post reporting that they are open to a sale at $100. I don't know if anybody's paying $100 for Colgate, but they'll say, we'll take it, apparently. and investors are like, okay, oh, they're going to sell the company. I don't know if I'm reading that into it, but you could say any company could say I'm open to a sale 30% higher than where I'm currently trading. Was there other details in that, Spencer?
No, you pretty much got the gist of it right there. That's pretty much it.
So any you could say, I don't know. Any company could say that, but it's interesting. So stock is trading up here at interesting numbers, 74.48. There's been lots of resistance up here in the 74s. I'm not chasing Colgate up here on their own speculation.
And I'm not getting any business advice from the New York Post here. I'm trading up to 274 at 74.32. Just give you a pre-market high, 75.5. You peaked your head over 75.09. That was your February 23rd high. So keeping an eye on that. I mean, you don't want to, with that kind of, you know, rumors out there, of course, you don't want to be short in this thing at 75. But, yeah, I mean.
Maybe you do.
I don't know. I mean, if you're long, this is a head scratcher.
There was rumors on, wasn't there rumors on Colgate a while ago, back in February, when it had the big move up? Wasn't that some rumors kicking around, too, that somebody was sniffing around in CL?
This is the first time
we've heard it.
Well, the Icon, didn't he play around with this stock?
Maybe. I remember rumors on Colgate before. You know, it's, you know, these things actually do. These, you know, consumer products do get bought out sometimes. You know, sometimes they do have mergers. So it's not out of the realm of possibility that there could be a buyer out there. I don't know if they're paying $100, though.
No. But just like I said, need to get through that pre-market high, see if anything else materializes on the rumor front, or else, you know, this thing could very well go back in the yesterday's range, yesterday's high, in order to fill the gap with 71.98. So if it doesn't just keep barreling over that pre-market high, maybe look for the $72 level on the downside.
And the wildest child of them all, at least in the last couple of days, has been AMD. This stock was an absolute monster yesterday. It could not go down. It was just getting bought all day long. Props to my buddy Jamie at Bright there, who was saying before the stock opened that he liked AMD today, and that stock took off. And actually, after hours, went up higher because it was analyst day, and they gave some commentary. Spencer, what did AMD say? Because it drove the stock higher, and then they pulled the rug out from under it. So we'll talk about the trading action in a second, but just what was said there yesterday after the bell.
Well, first, yesterday report that AMD had gotten a licensing deal with Intel, right? That Intel had ditched NVIDIA in favor of AMD. So that's a big one. That was yesterday before noon. That was late yesterday morning. And they didn't – no one really commented on the record, but that's what the report out there was. And then yesterday, like you mentioned, was Analyst Day. It must not have been good because Loop Capital is downgrading them today. And one analyst thinks the Intel deal that was reported is unlikely. But it must not have been good.
Anyways, it was actually initially when they started commenting, the stock went up to the 13 handle, and it was trading up there for a bit, and then it started leaking and leaking and leaking, and then it started actually giving it all back, and then it started going red, and then the redness just continued, and we are now trading down on AMD over 6% here in the pre-market, giving back almost the entire gain from yesterday. That's impressive moving around for AMD. It's also catching a downgrade from Loop Capital here this morning. And stock not looking as pretty as it did just even in the after hours at 5 o'clock last night.
Yeah, I was in some meetings yesterday, and I had to take the quotes of this one off my phone because I had
you're getting itchy?
I had the June 13 calls, and I've was holding them for 4, 5, 6 days. And Monday on the close, I said, you know, I need to dump most of this. I got a nice profit. It hit my target objective. And I just watched that thing climb all day long. Then I see
it. Isn't that the worst when you sell a stock or you have a position on and then it just starts climbing and you're like, you sold it. You're like, you get that gut wrenching feeling. It's almost worse than losing money when you had a position on and you don't make the money that you should have made.
Yeah, and I did a cardinal rule. I mean, I never dump like a whole position at one time, but I did on that one. I watched it just cut up and go through the 13, you know, right through the $12 handle. The thing that was weird about this, and, you know, obviously didn't short it afterwards, the video was up on the NVIDIA was up on the day too. So if they were losing, it just didn't, the move just absolutely did not make any sense. If they were losing this big contract, what, you know, wouldn't they, you know, go down while AMD is going up here? So I still like it. And, you know, I'll try and find a level to re-enter. If it would have been holding on to today, it would have been a little disappointing, down what, 83 cents. So,
what about the 50% retracement of the recent move? So take $10 up to, well, we'll ignore the after-hours stuff, but take it up to 12, yesterday's high, which is 12.77. So $1.80, 90 cents down, no, 2.80.
Yeah.
So $1.40 down would put us, what, around 11.40?
Yeah.
Maybe. You know what? I'm interested too, because I was saying to you, even, you know, when I was off last week when the stock was around 11.10, I was like, man, you know what? This AMD, it's been, it was really loved. It got hit. It's starting to look okay. I was like, I want to buy some of this in the tens for my investment portfolio. And then it just took off. I never had a chance. But maybe it gets in the lower 11s. I might be interested in sticking a little bit of this in my investment portfolio. What's Ace have to say? This is his stock. So what do you like? Ace, we're asking you there. You're in the chat right now. We're asking you if you like AMD in the lower 11s.
$10 psychological level, we hit that, actually cut through it 3 days in a row, put in a triple bottom at 985. So 10 was the big level. Let's see, you know, that, the area you talked about, Dennis, 1150, 1163 was yesterday's, low. So we'll see if we get into that area, but man, this, here's a fact, and nothing was ever announced. Both companies declined to comment on it, and it faded. So keep an eye on AMD at the 1150 level. Okay, we are coming up 8:35 here. Spencer, who will be our first guest?
Greg Harmon, the founder of Dragonfly Capital Management. He's got 25 years of trading experience at various firms, State Street, JP Morgan, to name a couple. So we'll be right back with Mr. Harmon.
Welcome back, traders and investors, to Benzinga's Pre-Market Prep, brought to you by Benzinga Pro. I'm your co-host, Joel Alcommon, along with Dennis Dick and Spencer Israel behind the glass. We have Greg Harmon on the line. He's the founder of Dragonfly Capital Management. Greg, how you doing on this Wednesday morning?
I'm doing great, Joel. How are you?
I'm doing good. So I talked to you last week about coming out for the FinTech Awards, and you said you had to finish up teaching some classes. So tell us what you're doing, where you're doing, and how your students are doing.
Yeah, I actually I teach a couple classes at Case Western in the graduate school, in the Weatherhead School there. And we just finished up the semester last Wednesday. A lot of foreign students come over for MS in finance or an MS in business, and I have the privilege of teaching a few of them a couple of things that that I do on a day-to-day basis, mainly around risk management within portfolios using options.
And so, do you make your test, or like your test, do you make them like sign in the terminals and then give them a live trading situation and make them trade out of it?
Not for the test, no, but I'll tell you, the first day of class, I have the class set up so that it starts at 3:30, half hour before the market close.
Nice.
And it runs till 5:30, so it's a two-hour class, two-and-a-half-hour class till almost 6 o'clock. And the first day, I have them come in, and they're, you know, looking around, and they see my my interactive broker screen flashing options prices as they walk in, and we don't even talk about it for a while. And then I give them the premise of the course is, you know, you're not a portfolio manager, but you're the risk manager working for him. And you know, quite often the portfolio manager is a little, maybe a little bit full of himself and, you know, wants you to do things in 2 minutes time without a whole lot of prep. And that's what this course is going to be about, getting you to understand how markets work and think on your feet. And then it'd be something like, oh, by the way, you own 1 million shares of Home Depot. It reports earnings in a half hour. Those options channels up there And the price chart you see up there are what you have to work with. Tell me how you're going to protect my million shares. I'm going out to lunch.
Excellent. Do you accept online students for that class?
I don't, but it's not my call at this point. I don't know if they plan to expand that or not.
Yeah, I don't know if I could get into a Case Western. But anyways, Greg, broad indexes. We've seen it hit a wall at 2,400 in the S&Ps. I'm calling a triple top up there. Probably no one else is. Three highs right around just above 2,400. Some consolidation, range-bound indexes. Tell us what you're looking for here for the remainder of the week. And, you know, let's look into next week as well.
Yeah, I'm going to differ with your view in terms of a triple top in the long run. And I wrote just yesterday about how we're looking more like the potential for a move significantly higher, maybe to 2550 on the S&P 500. Short term, there is a boatload or a crap load, or I wouldn't
PG,
say it on,
PG
the, on air, but
yep.
Yeah. Of open interest at 2,400 on the S&P and more so at 240 on the SPY. There are over 500,000 open contracts open on the SPY for this Friday. That tells me it's time to like head out to the beach or go do your grocery shopping or something like that until next week.
How come? Go ahead. What do you think? People, protecting, let's say they're short, the calls, people that are long, the puts are buying under 2,400. Talk about the market dynamics here when you see a big open interest in an index like the S&Ps or SPY, whatever you're using as a reference point.
Yeah, when I'm looking at the SPY and 500,000 open interest at the 240 contract, or 240 strike, I'm looking at something that's built up over a long period of time. So this was, you think about this, put yourself in this perspective that, the May contract was open, probably at the beginning of the year when people had a lot of fear for what was going on or a lot of euphoria for what was going on. And this is a lot of money that got placed back at that point in time and through time up to then to place bets on where we're going to go in the market based on, economic policies, elections in France, whatever, what the Fed might do. And I think we're still working through those protection schemes and those euphoric scenarios, and nothing is going to break this market out of a big range until we work through that. So maybe we work through that and start a new move, be it up or down. My view's up, I said, and yours is down. So we'll find out next week which one of us is right. Or maybe it's still even June until we find out what's happening there. My hedges for my client portfolios were out in June. And I put them out, I had them in March, and in February I moved them out to June. So if others followed the same kind of process, we may have another month of just hanging around at the current levels.
And
the,
that would
kind of the kind of interesting thing though is the NASDAQ is not following that pattern.
No, it's those big stocks are just carrying that higher and higher. We could go into Trump stocks, Trump agenda, but one leading indicator has been the U.S. dollar here, and what do you see in the U.S. dollar charts, some short-term and long-term projections?
Yeah, I mean, the dollar chart had been moving in a range between 93 and 100 for like a year and a half, 2 years, and then broke out above that after the election. But that fell really quickly and has since December been moving in a falling wedge pattern. And falling wedge, people would say, after a move up in a falling wedge, which is something that is a tightening range as the price falls down, many would look at that as being a bullish pattern and look for a break to the upside and then a major move higher. But yesterday, it actually broke that wedge to the downside, which is a really bad thing from a technical perspective. You'd now look for a move down you know, another 5 points, possibly in the dollar, down to like the 92 area, or the 93 area, somewhere around that the base of that 2-year range, retesting that level. So it's a, you know, you may not think it was a major move given, you know, what you see in your charts, but it was a major thing to break that falling wedge yesterday, and it's continuing today.
Okay, all right. Let's move into the stars, the champs of this move, and that's been big tech here. Apple shrugged off a not so good, a mixed report, found buyers, made a new all time high. Same with Facebook. Some of these other issues. Give us your outlook here for some of the big tech stocks.
Yeah, actually, one of my favorite big tech stocks is Microsoft, and we've been in this one for a while. Microsoft now back up at the highs near 70. I think it may pin at 70 on Friday, and then we see if it can break out and move to new highs from there. Another one that I recently got into is Oracle. You know, Oracle broke out on earnings, gapped up higher, and started to pull back, and I was looking for the opportunity to get into it as it bottomed at around 44 at the beginning of April. It's now, you know, made a higher low and is turning around back higher. This one also getting through options expiration Friday shows really good signs. And then another big cap tech that I'm looking at outside of the ones that people trade most of the time is Intel. And Intel has over the last, you know, 3 months put in a series of higher highs and higher lows. It's not major differences in highs and lows, but it's progressing higher all along. And if we see that one get above 38, it's only retraced about 38.2% of its move lower from the tech bubble in 2000. So it's got a lot of room to the upside if it can get above 38.
And tell us about some of your strategies. If my mind serves me correctly, you're more of a selling options, selling put spreads, or buying debit call spreads, as opposed to trying taking a stab in the bottom. Give us your setup here for Oracle, or give it to it for Intel. Intel's a little bit better of a stock here. Would you be concerned if it took out the 35.50 level? Because I see a quad bottom there, 545, 540, 542, 542. You know, are you that short-term oriented where you would be concerned about something like that? Would you just adjust your options positions? Tell us how you'd approach Intel if it went through the 35.40 level.
Yeah, and for me, probably 34.50 is a more important level.
Okay.
Been above that since November, and the series of higher lows that I started talking about and higher highs are all above that 34.50 level. So I would take a look at Intel, and Intel is one that it does pay a dividend. So it's something that I consider where I'm going to use options or stock. And, you know, the dividend yield on this one's 3%. It's better than 10 years, right? 10-year notes. So it's nothing to just shake off in terms of, you know, whether you're going to play options or stock. So for Intel, I would generally look to use stock to get my exposure on this one. But I might protect it with a something like a 34.50 put, or even down to 32, like a 34.50/32 put spread to protect against it, and then maybe sell something like a 38 or a 40 call somewhere in that range to help lower the cost of that protection.
All right, give us a look at one more that I have a little interest here. Facebook made out that new all-time high. Now you're losing the 150 level. Give us your outlook for Facebook.
Yeah, I mean, my view on Facebook is we're at 150. I'm sure that, you know, I've talked about it before, the round number aspect of sentiment, and I'm sure you've had other guests talk about it as well. You know, 150 is a big number for Facebook, and it's likely to stay here a little bit. It's a tad overbought, even on the weekly basis. I think that we probably pin at 150 on Friday. And we go beyond there. The long-term chart looks like it's still going up. I'm long this. This one's been a great stock to own. I got long this last year, and I've got a double in it so far, and I'm looking for more.
All right. We went on the line with Greg Harmon, founder of Dragonfly Capital Management. You can go to his site, dragonflycap.com. He has 20% off of a spring sale for his insights and his annual subscription. Again, that's dragonflycap.com. Greg, thanks so much for hopping on today. We'll be in touch.
Okay. Thanks for having me, guys.
8:49 now. Dennis is back here lurking in the background during the interview. Anything? I did see Target starting to leak, guys, right?
It is. I wanted to say the exact same thing. Funny you both noticed that, Spencer. But Target is starting to leak. You know, American Eagle Outfitters came out, and they started to hit some of the other stocks, too. Retail is starting to look a little bit weaker here and starting to turn red, where retail has been up most of the morning. Now that Target is leaking, I even noticed Walmart gave back almost all of its gains as well here. So Target leaking has still holding on to a $2.50 gain here, but this goes to show you it's hard to chase these retailers up because it seems like every time they get a bounce, there's just more selling pressure up high.
Can you say overhead supply?
Oh, yeah.
The move is corresponding with the S&P's leaking. This is some of the biggest movement we've had in the index during our hour of the show. Started out the show near the 88 even level. We have now hit as low as 22.8 or 23.82. Really, the big number today is, you know, that low at 79 and a quarter, Dennis. That is also your 7-day low, as well as last Thursday's low. And then you even can't get super excited under that because you have a couple lows at just under that at 23.75.50. So, man, shortening the hole here could take some heat, but let's see what happens to that pre-market low of 79 and a quarter. Have we done any ratings today?
No, we haven't, so we should give the few. There's not a ton here, but there's some notable ones. Disney first getting downgraded at Macquarie here. Yeah, Disney has been in a little bit of trouble here for the last 2-3 weeks after topping on 116. It's pretty much been straight down. It's funny how this, once the ball gets going, rolling in one direction, it rolls in that direction for a long period of time. Now Macquarie ganging up on it. It's down another $2 here this morning. Joel, find us some support, or are we going to find any support on the House of Mouse?
Just the first thing, and maybe we take a look at a weekly or a monthly chart, and you see how many months it took to go from the $90 handle up to 116 and change, or at 116. And then what's it take, a week or two to get it back down here? Just, I mean, it's hard to sell these things when they're just ripping higher because you're looking for more and more. But you're right, Dennis. Once the ball turns, then you're selling the weakness. You know, the order sniffers find big institutional orders. They get ahead of it. They're trading ahead of it. So the tide has turned here in the House of Mouse. Also, supposedly, the ransomware or the WannaCry virus supposedly got a hold of a Disney movie. I can't verify that, but
that's a report that was out there for a couple of days. Also, but this morning, Disney's CFO speaking at a conference said that we can expect park expenses to grow in the high single digit to low double digit range in Q3.
That was a comment made this morning.
So,
let me dig back here. I see. On January 3rd, your low for the year is 105.21. We're approaching that here in the pre-market at 105.60. So I'd look at the 105 area as possible support. Coming back on the upside, long ways to go to fill the gap from yesterday, 107.82. But liking 105 is support if the market goes into all-out route mode. And, you know, the SPOOs are, you know, down 50 handles and S&P.
Joel calling for carnage here. I will take the other side of that bet. I don't think we're going down 50 handles here today.
You're really stepping out here, Dennis.
What? All right, Square, SQ, it's getting downgraded here this morning. BTIG downgrading the stock. Stock has been an absolute monster, just going straight up basically all year. up, got a new 52-week high, I believe, at 2069 there yesterday. Joel, the stock is now trading under $20 with the downgrade here. Is this just another buying opportunity, or is this, you know, the start of a new trend down for Square?
New all-time high yesterday at 20.69, so that makes your all-time closing high of 20.34 have a lot of relevance. Big volume yesterday, so either people piling in on the breakout or getting out of this. Got to keep an eye on the 1960 level. Looking at your daily charts here, you could see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lows between 1947 and 1975, called 1960, that major support area. Below that could leak into the lower 19s. I see a 1918 low from April 4th. And we got anything here? S&Ps continue to leak here, Dennis, down 1550. Is there big selling balances out there, Dennis?
There's some. We were saying already, the financials are your source of weakness here. I mean, and you think about the Trump stocks, think about all those stocks that rallied when Trump was, you know, elected, you know, the few days after the big November moves. Those are the ones that are going to get hit here today on this news. So financials are a prime candidate. But you can even look at stocks, you know, some of the steel stocks, some of the stuff that Trump, you know, really helped out. And these stocks are the weakest ones here today. But the financials are really a standout here today. I mean, Bank of America is down 2% almost now. Goldman Sachs trading down almost 2%. So they continue to leak. So that is your source of weakness here. I mean, the overall market is weak, though. It's across the board. I mean, even stocks like Caterpillar trading down 1.5% here. If I look at sell imbalances, Bank of America, 527,000 to sell. Citi, 86,000 to sell. Just looking, General Electric, 179,000 to sell. Twitter, which we haven't talked about, 167,000 to sell on Twitter. GIS, I don't know why this one has 114,000 share sell and bounce. That's interesting. That's one that I might actually be interested in going the other way, just because I don't know if there's news on that or not, but 114,000 to sell seems like too much for GIS. Morgan Stanley, 36,000 to sell. Johnson & Johnson, even 47,000. There's kind of sell and bounces across the board. Now, remember, this is a risk-off day. So sometimes you can actually see some stocks turn around, you know, and I think, you know, some of the defensive names might be something that I'm interested in. Even like a Johnson & Johnson, stocks went straight up here for the last couple of days, is weak here this morning. Might be a bit of a buying opportunity if the thing opens too weak.
Dennis, stay away from the Johnson & Johnson, okay?
Why?
Please. Why? Well, it got hit on earnings, right? And made the low on earnings day. Then it, you know, starting to get off the mat here, and then you jump $3, which is one of its biggest update in years on a JP Morgan upgrade from neutral, I think, to overweight, and then it's just getting back near all-time highs here. So I just don't put a lot of credence in that $3 move on Monday just because of a JP Morgan upgrade. So, I mean, if all the people that got caught in earnings here and this thing comes back within a, you know, a buck or two of the all-time high, I don't know. I think I maybe stay away from on that one. But you're pretty nimble, but that daily chart just seems, if you're right, you're going to get a pop up. People are going to want out at the mark of 127.77. I'll say it won't trade 127.77 today for, won't go a whole lunch on it, but I'll go a bag of chips.
Well, what about Procter & Gamble? I'm not going to bet on you. I may buy some Johnson & Johnson pulls back too far, but what about Procter & Gamble? You got
there
three,
you
four
go.
Lows right in the same area. Defensive stock. It's right there right now, 85.9. I mean, it takes it out. 85.9, starts going 85.80, concerned, but these kind of stocks do sometimes okay on a day like this. You know, they don't get hit nearly as hard, and sometimes they actually turn around and start, you know, money rotation. Sometimes they rotate into stuff like this, like the utility stocks. Another thing to consider, XLU is actually trading higher here right now. Even stocks like AT&T and Verizon. I mean, AT&T and Verizon have been annihilated. You know, this could be an opportunity. Verizon's down here in the pre-market, trading down again. It was just trading a 45 even, which seems overdone for me. I don't know. So, I don't know. I think there's some opportunity here on some of the defensive names here this morning.
Yeah, the Procter & Gamble has the old institutional buying here. You can tell at the $86 level and just below it in the 85 handle. So that one, I think buyers will reemerge here, several lows in the same area. So I like that better than the Johnson & Johnson. Just real quick, big news on Exact Sciences here. And Boy, Andrew left it. I mean, this guy's been making a lot of public appearances lately, trying to knock this stock down here, and he's doing an okay job. Spencer, do you have do you have what's going on, the battle with Exact Sciences?
Yeah,
EXAS.
That was on Monday. Did you watch that on what was it, Halftime Report? He was on, and then they were able to get the Exact Sciences CEO on with
him. And I didn't see that. Give us a summary of that.
It was incredible television. It was wonderful. It was it was maybe 10 minutes or so, maybe longer, of them just going back and forth. Andrew left saying, so Exact Science is what they do. Their product is an alternative to colonoscopy. You have Andrew left on saying it doesn't work. You know, doctors prefer to tell their patients to get a colonoscopy. You have the Exact Science CEO saying it does work. It's a separate option. You need to keep your options available as a patient. The doctor and patient get together and decide what's best for you on an individual basis, and they duked it out for a solid 10 minutes there, and it was fantastic television. And so. The whole thing. I don't know where we stand now. We left with Andrew left saying, make sure you get tested. But it was fantastic television. Left obviously short EXAS does not think their product works at all. And I guess one of the big differentiators is that their product Exact Sciences doesn't detect polyps, which is a big indicator of cancer down the line. And a colonoscopy does, and you can remove that the day of. Exact Sciences with their product, you can't do that. So it was fantastic. It was fantastic television, and stock got hit on that. You could watch it move in real time on that, during the segment, and it was great. It was great.
All right.
Joel?
What's on the docket? Okay? I just was getting off the mute button. Spencer, okay. What we got on the docket for tomorrow?
On the docket for tomorrow, a new guest on tomorrow. We have Jeff Cheek. He's a senior portfolio manager at Palatine Hill Wealth Management here in Ann Arbor. So looking forward to having Jeff on the docket tomorrow. If you missed any part of today's show, you can catch the whole thing again on YouTube, on Benzinga's YouTube channel, or go to iTunes, SoundCloud, and Stitcher to catch our podcast there. Please remember that all the information, material, and content from our show is for informational purposes only and not meant to be investing advice. That's it for us today. Have a good rest of Tuesday. We'll see you folks, or Wednesday, excuse me. We'll see you folks on Thursday for Jeff Cheek.
Whether you're a short-term swing trader or a long-term investor, you need to check out Thinkorswim, brought to you by TD Ameritrade. There's a reason why Thinkorswim has been named the number one trading platform, because it has it all. With Thinkorswim, you can trade stocks, options, futures, Forex, and virtually every other type of order. Get notifications on mobile devices and interact with other traders in chat rooms. You can also use technical indicators and see the latest investing and trading education in Think Money magazine. If you want to keep up with the markets, you need Thinkorswim. To experience everything Thinkorswim has to offer, open a TD Ameritrade account today. Thinkorswim, the online trading platform for traders and investors. TD Ameritrade, member SIPC. All investing involves risks.